And welcome to In-Game Chat for Thursday, May 27th, 2010, the Cougar Man episode. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Matt.
I'm RJ.
I'm Dennis.
There you go, the entire group here with us tonight. Then we go into tweets and emails and voicemails as we always do. Talk a little bit about Project $10 again. It's all led, of course, by your tweets and your emails and your voicemails. So we got Insomniac's multi-platform releases that are going to be coming soon. Apple's new products and how they, the thought of them failing or having something go wrong or whatever the case. Frustrating public reactions to video games. 3D effect in gaming. Also, Red Dead Redemption is discussed as well as Alan Wake a little bit as well. So lots of stuff in this episode, 2 hours worth. And also, if you'd like to direct the flow of the show, you can just by emailing us. Everyone at ingamechat.net. You can hit us up on Twitter at ingamechat, and you can also call us 201-7-INGAME, 201-7-INGAME, if you'd like to do that as well. So here's the show, and enjoy.
That it?
Check 1, 2, 3, and yeah.
Holy shit, motherfuckers. John shit. Those bastards.
I left my shit at home.
Well, so I'm looking my at fucking
shit. I am looking at your shit. I'm looking at it right now.
Dig it.
I'm just wondering. I mean, that's crazy.
What's crazy?
Oh, just that, you know.
Did somebody use your photograph?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really fucking strange.
It's unprecedented that somebody on the internet would use somebody else's photograph to make some other thing, especially an inspirational poster.
There were no titties. It was a shitty picture. If you can take pictures of whores, like
she's famous around Osan, where she'd walk up to, like, as you're drunk, stumbling back at 1 a.m, she'd, you know, tug on your shoulder and, you know, say, "Want to go?" And you're like, "No, Sally, leave me alone." Crazy,
unprecedented for a whore.
Yes.
So they don't talk like the whores in Red Dead Redemption do they?
No.
No, they talk like the whores in Hamburger Hill.
Hamburger Hill.
I was figuring you're going.
Do you know what Hamburger Hill is?
I don't know what Hamburger Hill is.
I was figuring you're going more for a Full Metal Jacket, but yeah, that's even better.
What one of the
Vietnam movie?
Okay.
What one of the whores say to you, Jeremy?
There you go. Huh?
What one of the whores in Red Dead say to you? I loved it.
Oh man,
James was the one that called it out.
Yeah,
they said it to me earlier.
Yeah, we were riding, like we were all just. It was the first night it came out.
Yeah. Okay.
God damn it. What? I don't want to fuck it up.
I
it
know.
Brilliant. And we were just all play. We were in a party together. We were playing our own games. Okay. And, like, I was riding through Armadillo and some prostitute. No. It was when I was in Thieves Landing, I think. And she called out to me as I was, like, riding away on my horse. Because, you know, the Rockstar game, and they say random shit. She was like, "I sure do hate to see a fella walking around with his dick so dry."
Need some help on that? Yeah.
I was like, man, that's brilliant.
Typical line in a Rockstar game.
Oh, yeah, it was good stuff, dude. That was really good stuff.
But they have, like, you know, they have the accents of the Old West or whatever.
Yeah, or Brat's game. Yeah. Can't go any further with that.
Only a few know that.
Or what? What did you say?
I said only a few
know that. No, before that.
What, they have the accents or whatever. The accents from the West. Have you played them on PS3? No.
Yeah. No, I intended to, but Blockbuster couldn't get the title to process through their brains there. Had to slow it down for them.
I didn't understand that story entirely when you were telling it. You asked him if they had it, and they said
I said Red Dead Redemption.
Right.
And they couldn't get past the Red Dead. They kept saying, "What? Red Dead Redemption." I thought maybe it was going too fast, so I just had to go, "Red Dead Redemption."
Did you tell them it was a video game?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they said they didn't have any?
They didn't have it yet. They said, "Well, we'll try to get it in. We'll try to get it next week." And I went there.
Oh shit!
Well, today looked for it, and they still didn't have it.
When did you go? When did you call?
Launch
day.
I called them a day after it came out. Then it said it'd be there next week, so I went back, tried to look for it, and they just didn't have it.
Oh. Well, I mean, it was all rented out, or they just didn't have it?
Didn't have it yet.
What kind of goat-fucked motherfuckers at a Blockbuster don't have Red Dead Redemption?
Yeah.
It's bad timing, man. They...
No, it's not bad. It's not bad timing, dude. It's
You've obviously got a franchise idiots. Store that you're going to, I guess.
How do you not stock Red Dead Redemption? God, I love our Blockbuster.
Look, man, it's not... I tweeted before that it wasn't popular enough to merit an opening day release, because they did that with Heavy Rain and Tekken 6. I think those are the last two titles I know of that came out, was in Blockbuster first day.
Anything that doesn't make any sense. Somebody should explain to that particular franchise manager.
Should have asked them if they had Prince of Persia. Mm. They'd probably said yes on that one.
Yeah. I think someone there fundamentally, you need to go to a different Blockbuster. you need to ride up to the one in Prattville.
That or go to the store, because they may not know what the fuck they're doing, man.
Yeah. Because our guys are great.
Mm-hmm.
They don't ever put the shit on the shelf.
No.
The whole first day, if it's a big title, they don't even bother putting it on the shelf. They don't ever, whatever. So, Scott and I just walk in on a Tuesday, and they're like, it's back here.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is fun, because the display boxes are on the shelf. But the game, the disc boxes are not.
Mm-hmm.
They're just sitting back behind the thing. So a lot of people walk in, see that there's no boxes, and walk right back out.
Yeah, it's all rented out, and they think.
They assume it's rented out, but it's not nice. Like it is. They just haven't ever put it on display.
That was my first fear the first time that happened to me. I looked, and I was like, motherfuck, they can't be out at fucking noon.
They never are.
Run out. And that's when they finally told me that, oh, no, it's back here. And then sometimes it's not even on the fucking shelf. And you have to go up there and say, did you guys get it in such and such? And dude's back there with the game cases and everything else. It's like right the fuck there.
I think like one time they haven't gotten something on release day there. It was something like, I don't know, some not first run shit.
God, they had everything this past Tuesday.
They're really good. Ours is really good about it. So I guess those fucking dudes that you're going to are just fucking assholes or something. You can't have Red Dead Redemption on day one.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to. I'm going to jump into the tweets. This one comes from... It's been, 2 weeks now since we've done a show, so...
Yeah, I mean, it was your fault, and then it was my fault, and then it was Jeremy's fault and my fault, and then whatever. Then it was a week, so here we are.
So, Glitch W says, why did you spoil the entire twist ending of the Splinter Cell co-op story without even saying spoiler? I do recognize... that it wasn't a very big twist, though.
You did say spoiler.
I thought we did.
You did.
I thought we did,
too. I just listened to it. I did.
I thought we were pretty explicit about that, saying it's not that big a deal, like, but...
Here it is. Spoiler in case you're worried, but here we go.
Shit, man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if you missed that, because I swear we said something. I mean, if you just listened to it, then... Because you weren't here for that one, were you?
No, that's why I had to listen to it.
Okay.
Iron Past says... Red Dead does not disappoint. First game in a while that is exactly what I want it to be. Controls great. So I guess this is where we talk about Red Dead.
You sure?
You want me to
the rest of them tweets?
Yeah, we got a lot more tweets.
Like,
we know what we got to say about Red Dead. We need to spur the conversation with the tweets. So
yeah, like
we could talk for a minute about.
I mean,
that,
Red Dead. So. We were gonna talk for a minute about Red Dead. That's all there is to it. I mean, because we got two of our guys who haven't played it, so
yeah,
we'll do a lot of explaining to them.
Yeah, we got emails on it too. So, UDC Dropkick says, "I know you guys love game rage moments. I was playing Modern Warfare 2 this weekend. Let's just say I prefer Battlefield."
Yeah, I saw that picture.
He sends a twit pic. Oh, Jesus!
Butterflied the disc.
Yeah, he just
no less than it deserves.
Yes, bam!
I love that. I was like, yep, that's what I think of your game. It's like bitching about Monet being fuzzy awesome. You just made my day. I'm not sure exactly what he's talking about.
He's an impressionist artist?
Maybe.
No, he is.
Yeah.
Well, he was. It was something I said in the last episode.
Yeah, it had to have been. Calgar 99. Maybe. I'm pretty sure it may have been.
We're talking about the writing of Max Payne.
Probably. Yes. Keep going. I can keep going.
Sure.
I'm not sure.
Possibly, maybe. Calgar99 says, instead of DLC map packs, why can't we get DLC mod packs for single and multiplayer games? Then Project $10 might actually work.
Hmm. Sometimes it's really hard to have something to say in response to a really great idea.
We agree. There you go.
Mod packs would be really fucking fantastic.
They would.
It's something that console strict people still haven't really had a strong taste of, that PC people sort of made their, I don't know. A lot of us defined our day-to-day by mods.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a perfect idea.
Then I'm got to be able to mod them first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the other thing. Gersnort says, the Backbreaker football demo is out on May 20th. Not normally interested in football games, but my curiosity has piqued. What are your thoughts?
I like breaking backs.
I've heard good things from it, even though it doesn't have the licenses or anything. People have actually had a lot more fun playing that than they have Madden and stuff, so I don't know.
A lot of times, judging from what I've been told, I'm sure RJ can weigh in a little more specifically, but a lot of people have a tendency, in my experience, to feel a little bit liberated by sports games that don't have a license.
Yeah.
Yeah, get away with a lot more stuff in there. You don't have any restrictions placed on you.
Because it becomes all about the gameplay.
Yeah.
Backbreaker's the first football game here to take on the whole Madden situation. I don't think we had anything last year other than Madden as far as the football was concerned. Professional football,
you
couldn't
have it because of that deal that EA made years ago. If you don't remember, is the
deal. The deal was just for the NFL license, though, right?
Yeah, exclusive NFL license.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't use any licensed players.
Which is the same thing here. They're not using anybody licensed.
Mm-mm.
Backbreaker has nothing licensed.
How's that the same thing?
Oh, well, it's not the same thing. What I meant to say was nobody did a football game last year, yeah, other than Madden.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because that, they had secured the rights for NFL. It was just nobody, I guess, wanted to go up against that without having those rights.
Well, that's been the case for a little while now, hadn't it?
I think it has, more than just a year.
Yeah.
I believe.
I have to go back and look at how many years they had it locked up for then.
It's been a while.
It has been a while.
Was it 5 years?
Yeah, I can't think of a pro. I mean, I can think of the NCAA and they've had stuff, but like actual pro.
I think it was it all started with NFL 2K5. I think that was the last. I think that was the last Visual Concepts game, football that came out. Because I remember it was the anniversary edition of Madden that came out, and their sales were hurt because Visual Concepts version of the NFL game that year was like only $19 compared to $50 and $60 mm-hmm. for EA. So they took a big hit in sales on that one, and then this deal comes out. But I don't want to say it was 5 years that they were going to hold exclusive rights to use authentic NFL players in any video games that came out from then on. So if it was 5 years, it should still be in effect today.
Yeah, this is the only other football game I've heard being released outside, again, of Madden.
Yeah, I think the only other time I've heard seen a football game released after that deal was All-Pro Football. Tried to use retired players, but by that time they used
that's
a bunch
right.
of players.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
I think they used a bunch of players that no one remembered for players from the 50s and 60s. I think the most well-known players they put on the cover, and even then some folks didn't know who they are.
They do the same thing with Blitz. Is that how they got their
public domain players or something?
NFL Blitz. Yeah,
really?
What was that?
Public domain players?
Yeah. I mean, they use NFL Blitz, the league. I think that was some kind of story-based arcade role-playing type football thing that I didn't get into.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I haven't tried the demo.
Wake me up when robots start playing football again.
Yeah, really.
Mutant League football back in the pack. That'd be a good thing to remake.
Blood Bowl, which I've heard mixed things about, but
yeah.
Iron Past says, when people say they skip the manuscripts and TV shows in Alan Wake, my reaction is that they're playing the wrong game.
I agree.
I do too. I don't know why you would do that. I mean, maybe you're not going to find some of them. Certainly not going to find them all in one playthrough. It's not possible.
It's not.
But, yeah.
But I've been reading those and watching those TV shows. Every one of those that pop up.
It's, you. Alan Wake should be played with the intention of absolutely drinking in everything you can get out of it.
I listen to the radio shows. I watch the TV shows. Yeah, totally.
It's because it's not going to be too much. The other game of last week is obviously the sort of thing where you can pass by an awful lot of stuff and just leave it be. Because, you know, you really can't have too much of a good thing in something like Red Dead. Or in a lot of other games with useless collecting. But it's all drawn together really well, or at least deliberately. In Max Wake.
He goes on to say, hearing your discussion, I think the music industry is a more apt analogy for used game sales and maybe something to learn from. I also think things like Project $10 should be relegated to online stuff. I dislike my single player handed out piecemeal.
I don't know that I mind my single player being handed out piecemeal. Although it is real easy to disassociate yourself with the game. As much as I was really, really into Assassin's Creed 2, it took so long for those two additional chapters to come out that by the time they did, I was like, meh.
I know at some point I'll go back and play them before I play 3.
Exactly. Or not 3, but
Brotherhood.
Brothers in Arms or whatever.
Maybe not before I play that. I don't know.
Or with the epilogue with Prince of Persia's.
Yeah, I still haven't played that shit.
I guess you do make a good point. I don't mind it fundamentally, but my habit is to completely disassociate myself and be done with it.
Well, you're getting two more chapters of Alan Wake that way.
Yeah, I know.
You'll get the first one. You'll get the first one free
because I bought it.
However, they put the dates up there already. Yes. We know, you go into the game and there's a fucking countdown as to when those are going to get released.
Which is fun.
Yeah, it actually kind of says, well, I can space out my playing here.
Yeah.
Because I know I've got a few more days.
I could plan to end the game.
Yeah.
Right before the DLC.
Like a week before and then pick up the next one and just, you know, continue on, that sort of thing.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I actually prefer it that way because, you know, how many times have you just, finished something and you really don't have a clear idea of when DLC is coming out?
Which is actually the case of what we were talking about.
Yeah.
At some undefined time in the future.
Yeah, so I kind of like the little countdown.
Well, of course, Project $10 is all about stuff that's available at launch. Stuff you get with the new purchase.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's... I think it all deserves to be discussed.
Oh, absolutely. We'd kind of gone in a direction that didn't directly address Project $10, which is what the writer was mentioned specifically. How do you feel about that? It hasn't really bothered me yet. The only two places where it's directly affected me have been Mass Effect 2 and it wasn't even an EA game, I don't think, was Saboteur. Was that... Who published Saboteur?
I don't remember.
But the nudity unlock.
Oh, I see.
You had to pay for. Which that I went ahead and grabbed.
Saboteur, I think, was EA.
Was it? Well, that makes sense. I mean, it fits their MO for the, you know...
Gotta go look now.
The Mass Effect 2 stuff, I didn't really seem worth my $10, so I stayed away from it. But I still, you know, completely enjoyed the game I had and didn't feel like I really missed anything.
EA, and developed by Pandemic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, all right. Take a second then. I haven't bothered to spend a whole lot of time caring too deeply about it, but. So can we get to a place where we just, for the sake of this discussion, redefine or firmly define what Project $10 is supposed to be?
Yeah.
Was that tied to... I thought that was most directly tied to the denial of...
Online features. So far it has been, with even the newcomers, I think Ubisoft or... somebody else last week announced that they were, THQ, I think it was, said the same thing for, I don't know if it was their UFC game or what it was, but they were doing the same thing where it was your online access.
Right.
Was chopped up, denied.
To a new purchase or a $10 purchase for a
yeah.
or something.
And, yeah. Which is, you know, smacks of legitimacy to some degree. Mm-hmm. Just because if you're maintaining an online service and they're not seeing any revenue whatsoever from the sale of a new copy of the game.
You know, they have
They it's have like, costs. Like it or don't like it, whatever. They actually have a leg to stand on.
Yeah.
As far as the other stuff, the Cerberus network type of stuff is a little different. But again, like I said, I think they both deserve to be discussed in the same arena because it's all an attempt to get you to buy the game new. Mm-hmm. Or to somehow get the money out of you when you don't. And I don't even see it as fundamentally bad. What was the cost of the Cerberus network?
Fifteen.
Yeah, it's a little.
That's why I was a little bit on the high side for me.
Yeah, $10. I mean, it's.
Can you look up how much the nudity unlock was in Saboteur? Because I know it wasn't 15.
I can't imagine who would pay that.
No,
I think it was 5.
See, that's probably why I did it.
I think it was 5.
$5.
It may have been less than that.
I'll
actually.
Throw $5 on these.
Does it have it on there?
Like a 200 point thing.
It's not saying, but it says that in the UK it was free of charge.
Well, it was free of charge for everybody that bought the game new.
Okay,
that's the entire point.
I rented it, so yeah. I had to buy the code.
The real point is going to be
it's not
Cerberus Network hasn't been a complete success because it's not a free channel for everything.
Right.
It's a free channel for a couple of things.
Yeah, it had a handful of things at launch that were like, all right, but I didn't think they were worth $15. And I'm not gonna put down $15 on the promise of future shit that may or may not ever come down the pipe.
Which was where the mess was. Which was why I was happy that I bought it. It's just there and it's pretty easy for me to distinguish between what I want to pay for and what I'll just get by logging in. I don't think that's the wrong way to go necessarily. I don't see a way of it harming the I don't see a way of the existing business model becoming worse. I mean, as it is now, we have our game. People are already moving to a
$5.
That's where I got it.
I mean, we're already moving into, we have really detailed and very important discussions about the DLC for a game like weeks before the fucking game ever comes out. And that's just what we do now, you know? We're already talking title and pricing and date and distribution method and possible content and length of play and all this other shit before the game's out. So that's just where we are. You know that if you buy a game, there's a good chance they're going to offer you the opportunity to put yourself on the hook for another $10 to $20. That's whatever. And I don't see how that gets worse by selling the channel, you know? And it gets a little more, it gets kind of muddied, you know? But I thought Cerberus was well made. It was just a thing that pops up in your existing menu, you know? Mm-hmm. You got the Cerberus network, that laptop opens. You know? You don't, it doesn't. That's great. It's not like fucking Uplay. I hate Uplay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uplay is a total fail channel for distributing shit. I can't stand it. So, I don't know. I think they'll figure it out somehow. Maybe. I don't know. The number of times I've expected them to figure it out, and they haven't, is more times, I think, than they have. So.
Yeah, I think the only really bad instance of kind of separating the single-player content that I can think of that bothered me was Assassin's Creed 2. It's because it was levels of the game intended to be included that were clearly part of the overall story, and they just didn't have time to finish them.
Yeah, that was a philosophical problem. Yeah. Not necessarily how they were about
DLC,
it.
And by the time they released them, you know, I'd moved on to other shit, so.
Yeah.
It's kind of like having a couple chapters of the movie removed because you just didn't have fucking time to finish it.
If you want to see Real 4...
Yeah.
Pay an extra $10.
Go buy the special edition DVD.
Oh, there you go.
Wasn't that the Lord of the Rings, though?
What?
Basically, you know, the extended editions. That's what they did with that.
I don't remember. The fucking non-extended edition was long enough as it is.
Yeah, like an extra hour or so.
Yeah.
Jesus. Nabokov fan says, played Napoleon Total War last night. Why do 2,000 soldiers in hand-to-hand combat make me giggle?
Because you giggle at everything, man.
I don't know.
I believe the next tweet comes from his podcast. It's Twitter user Dammit Slam. Thoughts? Yes. Yeah, thoughts on PS3 motion wand release rumor, PSP2 being a 4 SPU cell chip, and likelihood of Xbox 360 Slim at E3.
Not going to be a cell chip at E3. Cell's dead. D-E-A-D. Dead and gone.
PS3
pushing
motion...
up the daisies.
The motion wand release rumor. I don't. Is that still the motion that they're talking about? The move?
The move. The move. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm assuming release date and price.
Right. Release date's November.
November what?
This year. November 12th, I believe.
November what? November of this year. What do you think, man?
How do you get a face palm across a podcast?
November 12th.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's you can't. It doesn't matter how many times you say it, you can't undo the face palm. And then I'm assuming maybe price. I don't know. 360 Slim. If that.
I don't see that.
Well, yeah. Here's. What are we looking at? We're looking at a rumor for $150 for an Atal.
Yeah.
Right? Which, whatever.
Which Alabama Gamer has that tweet earlier. Just wanted to know how we feel about an Atal being priced at $150.
It's too high. I don't give a shit how expensive your tech is. It's a little high. I'm just looking at it as a... It's certainly too high for me to care. It would have to be a bit cheaper and come with something that just looked really great. I've always thought that something they should really try to do is make it cheap enough that they can include it in a bundle with the arcade.
System, yeah. Arcade system, yeah.
At a really, really
reasonable price,
competitive price. If they could do a slim 360 that somehow dropped the base price of the console, then throw that in. The 150 isn't going to put them too much over the top. But
Microsoft's never done a slim system yet, have they?
The Xbox didn't.
The 360 is their slim system.
Yeah, they haven't done a real form factor revision.
I think the only, Nintendo and Sony, I think the only two that have done that.
No. Sega and...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Atari and damn near everybody but Microsoft, I think.
Okay. I was thinking of people that are doing consoles.
Well, that kind of narrows it down to only three companies.
Yeah.
Well, in the history of consoles, they've always had a slimmer version eventually down the line. Mm-hmm. So Microsoft just hasn't done it yet, if they will at all.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know if it matters.
Gersnort says, not game-related, but thought you'd get a kick out of this, and linked us to the video of the teenage werewolves.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I did not see that.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
No, it isn't.
I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah. PlayStation Show says, what would I need to do to have you mention the PlayStation Show podcast on your podcast?
Well, you figured it out,
love
you.
You
figured it out.
There you go.
That's all it takes. When I asked about sending in your tweets and your emails for us to talk about stuff on the show, Dark Lord James says, talk about Insomniac. And there, in case you don't know what happened, Insomniac now is releasing some games on the 360 multi-platform.
Oh, cool.
They're in a deal with EA Partners.
Yes, and it will see release on 360, PlayStation 3.
And it's not an existing IP; it's a new IP, right?
Yeah, new IP. So it's not like they're going to bring Resistance over or.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter though.
Any of their
that's
a big deal.
The big deal is, I mean, it's kind of like a I don't know.
Does Sony own Insomniac?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they're in that weird second party place necessarily.
Right.
They've just, or whatever the hell that ever
they've
even means.
Just been exclusive.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Kind of like how I think
Insomniac, Ratchet and Clank also.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they're
they're Resistance, in there. Ratchet & Clank, Spyro.
Yeah, they were not owned they're, by. No, they're not Sony. Owned by. They've just Sony. Always had a very, very tight relationship.
Third party American video game developer.
Yeah.
But they have only ever released for PlayStation, PlayStation 2, and PlayStation 3.
So that's, I mean, they make good stuff, and it's kind of a big deal that they're in a different publishing environment. And EA Partners.
It's kind of interesting that
shit
like
done.
Yeah.
You know, that also comes not exactly on the heels of, but after the announcement that they would not be committed to 60 frame per second games anymore.
That's the first thing I thought about.
And then the next thing is we're going multi-platform, and I wonder if one may have something to do with the other.
I wonder if there's any way one could not have something to do with the other, to be quite honest with you. I think it's great. I mean, they do fun stuff. I'd like to see. Yeah, it seems like if they're going to be moving forward with multi-platform, then it's kind of hard to commit to that level of performance.
Yeah, it's hard enough to get, you know, squeeze 60 frames out of a single system, mm-hmm. let alone optimize that across two different platforms, especially two as different as the PS3 and the 360.
Yeah.
We'll have enough trouble just porting stuff that they're targeting 30 frames per second for, so.
Doogie2K says, so how rad is the Half-Life 2 1984 parody ad?
I liked it.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I liked it.
There you go.
Not as rad as it would have been if it was a Half-Life 2 Episode 3
ad. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
There's not many things more rad than that, though.
Although, I'm beginning to wonder, like, what the fuck? I mean, it's been so phenomenally long that can you just go ahead and announce that you're not going to fucking do it? Or something?
how long was it between 1 and 2? It was
Jeremy and I looked at this the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean
it was 2 years between Half-Life 2 and Half-Life 2 Episode 1 and a year between 1 and 2, and now it's been what, 3 years?
3 years.
So
it's been fucking 3 years?
Yeah.
Between what?
Episode 2 and now?
Yeah. Yeah, that came out in
it was fucking it's been 2.5 years. I mean, I'm not trying to split hairs, but that shit did come out in the fall. So.
Yeah. Okay.
It's gonna be 3 years. Like, there's no chance of it not being 3 years. I was being stupid. Like, I'm just trying to give them as much reality as I can here. But yeah, there's just no. I don't know. I don't know what to expect. Whatever.
Spigot writes to us and says, have any of you played the Trauma Center games? The new Trauma Team game on Wii has kept me from playing Alan Wake and Red Dead Redemption.
I understand your pain. It is excellent.
Trauma Center.
Yeah, I tried the first one.
Is that the one that started on the DS with the operations and shit?
Yeah. It's the one where you try to stitch people up and then the motherfucker ignores where you actually put your goddamn stylus and then tells you you're a fucking fail-ass, no-good piece of shit doctor, and then you throw your DS across the room.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one where it is. Fuck that shit. And you stab the fucking game with a knife and you say, how about that shit right there? Suture that, motherfucker.
I remember I wanted to, like, you know, do surgeries and operations and shit, but there were, like, weird alien bacteria and spiders and crazy shit crawling around inside of people.
I hear Trauma Team is pretty crazy as shit, too.
Actually, it's, at least I haven't run into it yet, but it's standard stuff, you know. You have the surgery, which is the gameplay from the regular game. One I enjoy most is, like, the orthopedics, where you're, like, putting plates in and screwing them in and shit. Like carving out a replacement bone for the patient.
All right. What's that on?
Oh, Wii.
Wii.
Mm-hmm. Controls a lot better than the DS version.
I can't imagine that, man. I already know who's going to write and like be mad at me about this, but I really hate that IR sensor. I'd much rather use a stylus than use the IR to perform surgery. Absolutely.
I find it a lot easier because it's used with the remote and nunchuck, which makes tool selection a lot easier.
Yeah.
Because you always have to like go off to the side to select your tool. This one is controlled by your analog stick, which instrument you're using, which like it makes it a lot easier.
All right. I'll take your word for it. I won't test your theory out. I'll just take your word for it.
Ravenlock says, if you could mention the interview I just did for Immortal Machines with Frozen Synapse dev Paul Taylor, it'd be appreciated. I suspect many would like Frozen Synapse, but might not have heard of it. Think multiplayer classic XCOM, currently in beta. Oh, tactical gameplay, simultaneous turn resolution, play-by-email philosophy. Good stuff. Okay, done now. Have fun recording. Well, there you go.
Done and done.
Yeah, check it out, Immortal Machines. You can go to, I don't know if immortalmachines.com, I think immortalmachines.com still works. But, you know, go to our forums, and you can find their forums there and download the episode. And that is all for the tweets. Should we go to emails or voicemails?
I do a voicemail.
All right, first email we get is...
Fucker.
I know, just being an ass.
That was the right decision. I was about to veto him anyway, so I'm glad you preempted me.
Anders from Sweden. Hey, guys, first of all... Wait, nope, he says don't read that on the air. I'm glad I read this one ahead of time. Actually, I do want to read his point that he made in the first. He thought it was really cool how you can write in and steer the conversation of the show. He thought that was really cool.
We think
cool.
It's cool, too.
Yeah, we're completely malleable.
So, yeah, keep doing
that.
It means
we don't have to have a fucking plan when
exactly.
We come in here and do this.
You guys make the plan. So he writes in and says, so I was thinking a bit about the iPad launch and Apple series of products. They got two groups of products, the popular products, iPhones, iPods, iPads, and the cheapest MacBooks. Then they got the professional products, like the more expensive Macs. So my question is, will Apple ever mess themselves up? I mean, they're stepping on some boundaries already with consumer control and all of that, but as an addition to that, will they ever screw up a product launch, like making something that no one wants? Or they're too many just buying whatever they release? Will they manage to recover from a failed launch? Will they survive on income from their more professional products? Would love to hear your thoughts on this.
I'm not a deep Apple culture guy. I try to read, you know, as much about it as I can. I mean, I keep my eyes open to the right things. My understanding is that the theory is that it's the Jobs is Apple. That the way they work, their entire philosophy, the culture of design and release and how they focus their development is still all him. And God knows how much longer that's going to last. I mean, the man obviously is really familiar with his own mortality right now. Mm-hmm. And I think the idea is for him to set the company in a direction where it can travel for as long as possible once he's gone from it. Whether it's his, like, his death or, you know, his departure for some other reason. But I'd say it's inevitable that they screw something up. I mean...
Yeah.
Even if Jobs, you know, we're going to be around for a long time. I mean, nobody's infallible. At some point, yeah, absolutely. They're going to release something that either flops in the market or a bunch of people buy and then realize they don't really have a use for like they thought it. They did.
Right.
Didn't live up to, you know, expectations.
Although it would really only result in a failure if the product itself represented a significant portion of their R&D and their marketing for any particular period of time.
Mm-hmm.
They are very well sort of laid out, you know. They've distributed their weight and diversified themselves. I mean, they are still Apple, but I mean, as you mentioned, they've got the popular products and then they've got the productivity products, you know,
the professional line and then actual.
Right. And that's two good trunks. And then within each one of those, they kind of distribute out to a lot of other things. And they're basically, you know, unless you're talking about, I don't know, unless you're like really talking about gaming, they're arguably as good as anything else in a lot of those places and very clearly the tops in some of them, you know, either in terms of sheer performance or in terms of quality of product, quality of service, like the longevity of it, or affordability. I mean, they have a bad rap for being uselessly expensive, which I've never understood. But that's not even true for all of the stuff they offer, you know? some of their little home server solutions are, like, for what you get, are an amazing piece of handiwork. So I don't know. Something is going to happen, though, because a lot of what they're doing right now is market revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And revolutions, like product revolutions, get kind of tiresome. You can't keep them up forever. And I don't really know how long they're going to be able to ride that. I don't know how long their phone thing is going to remain dominant. I mean, I like the phone. It's a great piece of kit, but you know, they're stuck in really, really bad deal territory right now with AT&T. Meanwhile, other people's kit is becoming as good as theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Google. Android.
So, and they've got a lot wrapped up in that.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if you know, some of their eventual downfall came from existing lines, but it's really hard to tell. Because at the moment, even as of today, motherfuckers are worth a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Their shit just keeps going up and up and up. So
I think even if they did release something that, you know, most people saw as pointless and everything, they'd still have their core fanboys that would buy it regardless.
Yeah, but they are leveraged a little bit out from their core now, though. That's one of the points, is that they're out into the market far beyond their core.
They've got a lot invested in their current image right now.
Yeah.
You know, the guys that do really cool, awesome shit you have to have as soon as it comes out.
Now, core can't support what they are right now. I mean, they could have a fail product like the Air, you know? Because, like, what the fuck was the Air? It was like some weird little blip.
Yeah. But you can't go out on a limb with something like the iPad, have it fail, and then walk away completely unscathed.
Yeah. That's true. But they've got their finger on it. Because I totally think the iPad's a piece of fail. It just doesn't fit the bill for me.
Yeah.
I could use it, I guess, for a couple things. I don't know, man. It looks like an uncomfortable device. And it wouldn't have surprised me if the market rebuked it, but they know the market better than I do.
Yeah.
And their next little thing is what, June 7th?
What?
The new iPhone.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Definitely.
Gen 4.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Next email comes from Sean Badger. Hey, guys, I'm only up to Chapter 2 of Alan Wake, but I'm already noticing many throwbacks to Remedy's Max Payne games. Aside from a voiceover I won't spoil, I couldn't help but notice that the coffee thermoses you collect harken back to Max Payne's painkillers. They don't call attention to it in the game, but the coffee serves the plot and overall atmosphere. All the coffee Wake collects, presumably to stay awake through the ordeal, must also be affecting his mind. The overdose of caffeine combined with sleep deprivation sells the plot to me on an entirely new level. The way the screen blurs, even in daytime, makes me feel like I'm in a drug haze. Plus, the player's willingness to brave the dangerous dark to find the hidden items puts him or her into Wake's mindset of desperately needing a method of staying awake. I just wanted to see if you picked up on this, since you guys opened my eyes to the subtleties of Max Payne's drug-fueled madness.
I had not picked up on that. That is absolutely brilliant insight. That's really
cool. No, I hadn't put it together either. It makes perfect sense. Because, you know, I know what happens when you drink too much coffee. I used to live like that. That's not good.
Next email from Mitch Strand. He says, the subject line is burned by Steam. So I was bemoaning the proliferation of movement control on consoles using the analog sticks instead of the D-pad to my friend the IT guy. I can't play my copy of Splinter Cell because I can't pilot a human being. GTA 3 gave me blisters, but to me it's a more natural way to control your dude. He said, essentially, get used to it. Then he said, you've got a Mac, why don't you sign up to Steam? Steam for Mac is up and Portal is free. Great idea, I thought. I'll bind my own damn controls. I sat down at the Mac after getting my wife out of the house and downloaded Steam. When I tried to acquire Portal, I got a dialog box that read, Steam is only supported by Intel-based Macs. Damn my Motorola chips.
Yeah.
I was so close. So for anyone else out there who is a couple of generations behind, you still have to upgrade your machine to use Steam. When I do it, though, I'm getting a PC. Still, this might not be a bad thing. The only game I really want to play is Thief. 12 years old, and I'm still so hung up on it. And now there's about 500 fan missions, so I could never run out of stuff to play. I'd also like to play an old game called Outcast, so I guess I don't need much of a PC. I have to agree with you fellas about reviewers, though. Most of them are not journalists, but some of them are better because they actually know what journalism is and what isn't. Touching on that, I don't think the sole definition of journalism is objective reporting. Like you said, James, objectivity is mythical in game reviews as well as news reporting. My local paper seems to want to tell the story and also stick a finger in my eye because of who I tend to vote for. In my mind, if you want to call yourself objective, you have to totally erase yourself from the story or review. You don't go down the middle because there is no middle, only the facts, unburdened by opinion or language that suggest an opinion. If one can't do that or doesn't want to, then one's bias should be made very clear at the outset. If you're going to lean one way, you have to start out with, here's the way I lean, now here's my opinion of this game, or here's what happened and how I feel about it. This weekend, I finally watched the review of Kanan Lynch that got Gerstmann fired. I like Gerstmann, but I think that was an honest review. He wanted to like that game, but it didn't let him. The guns were poor, the cover mechanic was clunky, the dialogue and story were uninspired. He thought co-op might be the game's saving grace. It wasn't. It was an interesting group mission mode where several players could pull a robbery and one could betray all of them for all the loot. Good idea, but not executed well. Gerstmann listed all the things that were wrong with the game, but he never was malicious. He only seemed really disappointed. His language was not inflammatory. He was being fair. He listed all the potentially cool things about the game and then explained how they were either broken or missing the mark. It was the kind of review that makes me willing to listen to Jeff Gerstmann about any game, even if I think he is again becoming a little too close to the people whose games he reviews. Sorry to go on so long. You guys are turning into a real weekly treat for me. Keep it up, and thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Very well written. You know, I agree.
I hate the thing about the Mac for you.
I do too.
But that change really is something that liberated the Mac from a lot of the constraints that held it back. You know, PPC architecture, like. Mm-hmm.
How old is his Mac then? If he's
got I don't see this. It's funny. Like this kind of thing comes up a lot around here. Anytime like we're trying to sell somebody on a Mac around here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that we're Mac fanboys. It's just the people who generally come asking us about what laptop to buy. We're like, dudes, I know what you do. Like,
yeah, definitely.
Just buy a Mac. And
because if you don't, you're going to come harassing me later.
Mm-hmm. And in 2 years, when it's loaded down with spyware
and malware,
because you don't know how to safely browse the internet and how not to get Smiley Central. That's kind of something you want,
right?
You know. It's going to run slow, and you're going to give up and toss it in 2 years when it's a completely good machine and get yourself something new. At which point, you could have just bought a Mac. And
you know. It would have treated you better. Like, yeah. All, you know, which isn't to say that we're at all anti-PC people. It's just it's become very specific about how we recommend machines based on who's asking.
Based on, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Depends on the person.
And so I will every time I will carry them around to a few of the people around here who have Macs. Like girls who don't know anything about computers, but they've gotten rid of old Macs, not because they quit working, but because the hardware has literally become obsolete long before the thing ever just gives up the ghost. It actually becomes obsolete by what's happening in the market. I mean, they're good machines with great longevity, and that is actually something that screws you sometimes in the long run, is that they just won't run more modern shit, which kind of sucks. But I mean, the trade-off is what it is, you know.
Yeah.
I can't really blame them for not supporting the old architecture. I mean, the newest Mac OS doesn't support the PPC architecture anymore. So
at some point, you just gotta move.
Yeah.
On.
Even if your old shit's running like a top, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I looked up Outcast. And yeah, I kind of remember it.
What was it?
Outcast came out in 99 by Infograms. It just
went what on. Was it?
It was like a futuristic, you know, action adventure game.
Okay. I'm sure I've passed by the box art 100 times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But didn't actually play it.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I don't think many people did play it. It's released on, was it Good Old Games released it?
Oh, really?
Oh, did they? Okay.
Yeah, this past year. So, you know, if he does upgrade to a Windows PC, you know, you can get it from Good Old Games.
Cool. Our next email comes from Matt of Steel, and he's talking about Red Dead Redemption. Hey, everybody. Matt of Steel again. First off, I'd like to thank you for reading my long Heavy Rain email back in contempt for this episode. As stupid as it sounds, it was nice to have a conversation with the in-game chat group. We've never met, but you guys do feel like my video game friends since I've been listening to you all for over 3 years now. You're the only gaming podcast I listen to that isn't just a bunch of journalists or website owners. For lack of a better word, you're all very real.
And we have a website.
We do.
We're the only people that go to it.
InGameChat.net. It does exist. You're all very real, and I thank you for taking time out of your lives to share your thoughts with those of us out here that will listen. Anyway, I had an interesting...
It totally works the other way, yeah, actually. But, yeah. Man, that's awesome. If it's going to be that symbiotic, awesome.
To stop here in the middle of his letter to go back on that, it's hard for me to listen to podcasts that have a bunch of journalists and website owners.
Yeah.
Or exactly, I know exactly what he means, you know, the industry insider people or whatever, who are playing games, you know, 2 or 3 weeks in advance or I don't know. We've had interviews with people in the industry or whatever, but it's still your guys who are just, you know, whatever, taking time out of our lives to talk to people who are actually in the industry. It's not our jobs, and it's something we get paid for. We both hate and love that at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, those guys are better at it than we are, but, you know, I'd make an effort to get better if I got paid for it.
Yeah. I was saying, you know, they have an actual studio they can go to.
Yeah, no, they totally do. Like, we don't even know until about 40 minutes before we do our show where the hell we're going to be recording these days.
You know, and our ability to play the games of that week or get to whatever it is that's going on.
Yeah, so it you know, the point is it matters a lot.
Is limited to the Blockbuster down the street.
Right.
Is whether they have the game or not. Anyway, he goes on. I had an interesting conversation that I wanted to toss your way. My wife has a coworker who has a 13-year-old son who starred in a commercial with Kevin Bacon. Okay, seriously, though. Who got his hands on Red Dead Redemption. This coworker... this coworker, let's call her Queen Nofax, found out that her current boyfriend, let's call him Douchebag McGee... had purchased the game for her son, and we'll call him Private Minor Pants. So now Queen Nofax knows I'm an avid gaming type person, so she asked me if her 13-year-old son would be okay to play this game. I, of course, say yes. It's like a more adult John Wayne movie, whatever. The Queen then says, but isn't this by the same people who make Grand Theft Auto? I don't want him playing a game that allows him to rape women.
Oh, Jesus.
After shaking off the effects of pure stupid making its way into my brain, I say that the worst thing that you can probably do to women in this game is tie them to the train tracks, which is awesome. He didn't say that. I added it, but it's awesome. She then says, oh, the violence doesn't bother me. He plays those Call of Duty's war things all the time. I just don't want him to have to rape women. Turns out she also equates paying for prostitutes to rape.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, don't we all? Long story short, I pointed her to GameTrailers.com and let her look at videos there and let her make up her own mind. I told her there has never been a GTA that had you rape anything, and that being GTA, it would have been a choice, not a requirement. I told her that if Private Minor Pants was mature enough to kill terrorists by the thousands, he was old enough to handle a six-shooter. And finally, I told her that if I was able to get my hands on porn when I was 12 in a time when the internet was scarce, she was kidding herself to think that a 13-year-old boy in this day and age hadn't found a way to entertain himself, air quotes, in the same fashion. Basically, if the whole point is to protect a child's innocence, the game has nothing this kid hasn't experienced already.
There's nothing to protect.
Yeah. Just thought I'd share that and ask you, and also ask you all, what is the most frustrating experience you have had with an uneducated person asking for your input on a game?
I know James is going to have a lot more to pop to mind easily because he's, you know,
more recent time in retail more recently. Yeah, he doesn't like shine a light on it necessarily, but that's how it. I know that everybody's aware of this. We have a lot of guys listening, a lot of friends of the show who are in other countries, and things are, to some degree, totally inverted.
Yeah.
Everywhere else in the world. Around here, they don't give a damn about the violence.
Yeah, you could, you know.
They will get angry. A mother will get angry at you at retail if you suggest that violence is something that should be kept away from. Well, no. Like, no, I don't think your 9-year-old son should really be playing this. There is a lot of, like, very intense violence.
And it becomes, don't you tell me how to raise my kid.
Yeah, there you
but
go.
But if I swear to God, if I said, dude, there's fucking titties everywhere.
Oh, no, that's
they
bad.
They will absolutely, like...
There is a sex
what's
scene.
What's wrong with you trying to get me to buy this game for you?
Yeah.
When it's got all this smut in it. And it's like, whatever.
There is a sex scene.
That's exactly how it works.
And titties in the game.
Huh?
There is a sex scene and titties in the game.
Yeah, whatever.
But, you know.
Who gives a shit.
Exactly. Good lasso. You know, like I said, lasso a woman, put him on the train track.
It would be very, I would also say, just in the context of this particular thing, that it would be difficult for it would be difficult to harm the innocence of a kid in this setting. I'm not saying that the Old West is kind of irrelevant. It's an anachronism, you know? Even though this isn't the Old West. This is like the...
Early 1900s.
Yeah, it was 1910, 1911, something like that. I mean, it's the death of the Old West. But I mean, the point is, it's a fucking 100 years old, you know? I mean, a lot of the language is similar, but... The situation is a little bit different. We're kind of a remove from anything that's like this, so it's hard to kind of sort of take it seriously in the context of modern problems. So, I don't know. Not that matters for much, but it does matter for something.
Yeah.
I had one time, years and years and years ago, I think it was at EB when I was working there, or either at the software, but... lady came in just screaming in Spanish about, you know, I sold her kid Diablo, you know, and it, you know.
Yeah, I had a woman at the software get angry at me because
you suggested Diablo to the kid.
Yeah, I was like, fuck Diablo, and I didn't realize what the kid was. Like,
yeah,
I didn't realize what his mom was. His mom was not an English speaker. Mexican and not an English speaker. Mm-hmm. She fucking knew a Diablo, man. Yeah, fucking Christ. Didn't see that crucifix there. Whatever. She went half as pissed off as a woman when I said voxels. Or whatever. I don't know what the hell that was.
That was since I have no other story popping to mind immediately, I might as well tell that one. It was actually James and I, years and years ago, at Software Etc. We're sitting behind the counter and discussing something. We were discussing it was Delta Force and its use of voxels to render a 3D environment, about how you couldn't accelerate a voxel. And I honestly don't remember what it was we said that she took offense to. She's like, you shouldn't use language like that in a public establishment.
Yeah.
And like, whatever, we weren't like saying fuck shit. You know, goddamn or anything like that.
He could have been.
It couldn't have been anything worse than, you know, maybe a damn in there.
Those damn voxels.
But you know, if that, you know, it was probably something completely innocuous that no one north of the Mason-Dixon line would even blink at. But I looked at James. I was like, what did we say? And he was like, I don't know. Voxels? And she huffed and slaps down whatever it was she had in her hand and walked out, which was...
Hey, man, they did that a lot. Line. I didn't like it when I fucking cursed. I don't know what the fuck the problem is. Fuck you. Yeah, whatever, dude. People that don't know, don't know. And that's all there is to it. It can't be made tonight.
See, I had the same situation. A coworker of mine asked me about if Grand Theft Auto was a good game to get for a 7-year-old.
Yes, it is.
All I did was shake my head and have her go to the ESRB site and just say, look at the ratings, make your best guess, and
don't bother me again.
Go for it. Let's see, I've seen people get pissed off at women getting hit in fighting games. Dead or Alive. Dead or Alive is a game that promotes violence against women. I've heard that one.
I guess it's technically true.
Little kid said the name of the pilot in Power Stone, Fokker. He thought he said Fucker. That was one.
That's some great education fail there.
Yeah.
And the only other one I could think of other than that, well, kind of funny, dude, about the asking about memory cards. This thing is full. Should I throw it away?
This is full. Yeah. Should I throw it away?
That's about the only frustrating moments I've seen. inept consumers getting video games.
I haven't had to deal with that. I've never. So far, I haven't had it. I remember somebody
returning Conker's Bad Fur Day. That was absolutely livid. That we didn't make it clear that this game was inappropriate for her small child.
Oh yeah, that dirty little fuck.
Yeah.
For your kid.
That throws him for a loop. I mean,
the squirrel with the beer in his hand on the cover with the oversized M with the yellow tag underneath.
I think he had a cigar in his mouth too.
It says this game is absolutely not for anyone under the age of 17. None of that tipped you off.
Yeah.
But it's a squirrel.
Yeah.
It's a cute little character. He's fine.
Do you remember if anyone got pissed off at the Tiger Woods with the Spirit of Christmas in it?
Yeah, nobody knew about that shit.
We knew about that. I don't think anybody else in the world knew about that.
Okay.
It wasn't accessible in game. You had to put it in your PC.
The only thing I've ever had to deal with, I guess, is the I think people that read comic books get the same thing is when you say that, take work, for instance. Anytime I go on vacation, it's usually either to go to PAX, E3, whatever, but it's always gaming related. Like, where are you going? And then I'll say, oh, I'm going to Seattle. Oh, what's up in Seattle? Mm-hmm. Telling them PAX won't mean a damn thing other than, bringing the question of what's that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just it's a video game thing. And then I get the usual this sort of kid stuff still, This my kids play those. Because I guess I work around a bunch of parents who are not really into that whole thing at all. But that's usually what I get. The same thing is what are you reading? Oh, I'm reading this comic book. And, you get the whole, I'm not interested in that anymore. You're still 12.
Yeah, fuck those people, man.
Or still whatever.
You poor bastards that aren't 12 anymore.
Really?
That's pretty much the way I couch it.
Exactly.
Everybody brings it up to me. Which I'm allowed to do here. That happens all the time. It's fully expected when a friend comes up to me and shows me, I'm having a baby. because I have them today. But it's well known how I'm going to react. And it's is that yours, or are you just... Yeah. Are you happy about that? Okay. If you're the kind of person that's happy about that sort of thing, I guess that's great for you. But whatever. I don't ever have to deal with that so much in the work environment because all our people know what we are. And they totally fucking accept it and they think it's weird, but they like that because they need all kinds of weird.
Except for the occasional wife that's like, I don't let my husband, too many games.
But then we dogpile on him. And it's like, no, you don't get to win. You don't get to win with that argument around here. Okay. We get to win.
We both broke up with the last people that let us play games.
Seriously, we didn't put up with that shit. So. Andy, you got fucking shit does not hold water with us. I'm sorry. I don't even know what the fuck to say. There's no way you can explain it. If people think that, you have to rape women in a game, it's like, all right. You just keep being like that because I can't help you.
Yeah.
At all.
Well, we got
you do have to rape donkeys.
See, that's okay.
That's donkey women.
Yeah.
I was going to say, did you see that? Did you see that?
That's your other option, right? Because they're never going to listen to the facts. You're never going to walk away from a factual sort of information, a teachable moment, being any smarter about it. So just fucking have fun with them, man. Be like, oh, God, dude, you can't even... press start without raping a woman.
That's the main the main screen.
When you select a new game, you actually rape a woman in half. And then you rape each half. And then you have to rape it back together.
Like those little Russian dolls.
or just come up with the worst shit you can possibly do. And then surreptitiously take pictures of their face.
This was when I told her about this part.
Yeah, I don't know what to do.
Did you see the Donkey Woman?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Woman. And the
Cougar Man.
And the Cougar Man.
I didn't see the Cougar Man. I saw the Donkey Woman and the and
Cougar
the Gun
Man
Dog.
And Donkey Woman.
I haven't seen the Gun Dog.
Yeah, I saw the Gun
Damn
Dog.
Damn it! I got to find the Gun Dog.
I saw the Flying Reindeer.
I got to.
I'm assuming
Flying Reindeer.
The Flying Reindeer.
Yes.
Where are we at?
Just on screen.
Like seriously, like up in the sky.
Don't worry about it.
It's like across the sun or something.
Yeah, it was just stuck up there, and the guy shot it, and it fell down to earth. He was like, let me go collect some deer feathers.
I'll find Cougar Man later. Cougar Man's good, too.
Yes.
That fucker just ruined Christmas for everybody.
we got two tweets while we were doing the emails here. Hammer F says, did you guys play the first Two Worlds, and what do you think of Two Worlds 2 and its newest trailer?
No.
No, I didn't. Nor I wanted to, and then everybody told me about it. And then I didn't, because it looked great. And it took me a long time to figure out why everybody was so upset about something that looked so cool.
Yeah.
But they were, so.
Yeah. I was surprised to hear of a Two Worlds 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would you do that?
It's weird what gets sequels sometimes, you know?
Yes, it is.
And what doesn't get Yeah. Iron Past says, do you think the ability to turn off the 3D effect on the 3DS cements that feature as a gimmick?
I think it's a gimmick. Like, I thought it was long ago. I mean, if you're talking about that being absolute proof, probably.
I disagree. I'm not going to argue that it's not a gimmick. I don't think the ability to turn it off cements it as a gimmick. I think that's just practical.
Well, I maybe more that it's evidence that the 3D itself isn't going to be
100% desirable.
Yeah, I think that's more what he's getting at. Like, yeah. If it's something that can be just kind of toggled on and off, mm-hmm. How good?
Well, it seems like
can it be? I mean, I don't really know, but
there's a lot of people that can't even see the fucking 3D effect. That you know, go into the movie theater, put the glasses on, and like the way their brain and eyes work, they cannot see it. It just looks like double vision.
Or it just really gives them a headache or affects, yeah. You know, whatever.
And, you know, so I think it's just eminently practical to be able to turn it off, either for people
for
people that, you know, just aren't in a situation where they want to be in public wearing fucking 3D glasses, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree that it's a gimmick.
That said, I think it's a gimmick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the Batman Game of the Year is now in 3D.
Yeah.
And that said, I don't think that the fact that it's a gimmick is necessarily a bad thing. I still would like the option to play a game in 3D every now and then.
Yeah. I don't know, dude. I don't want to put on some fucking glasses to watch a movie in my house or play a video game in my house.
Yeah.
I don't fucking want it at all. You know what? I don't want to go too far down the road on this, but I was sick over the weekend. I was just doing some random things, and I'd rented just because I had like the, you know, always rent two things for the base price, whatever thing from Blockbuster. So I rented Avatar just to see it on Blu-ray because there wasn't anything else out. And I watched it one day while I was sick, couldn't do anything else. I believe I liked it better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without the 3D?
I enjoyed the film the second time through. It still had all the same flaws, but I felt like I was actually... I watched it in a lot of ways to make a comparison to the theatrical experience. And I actually had a more pleasant time with it, watching it the second time. I mean, it was, you know, in my home on my nice TV. Mm-hmm. But it looked fucking brilliant on the screen. But I realized my relationship to the image was totally fucking different, you know? And the 3D is awe-inspiring, and it's really arresting, but I'm watching it, you know, I was watching a movie,
mm-hmm.
and it was so much more relaxing to watch just what it was. There were certain parts of my attention and my mind that weren't engaged by the 3D, you know? I wasn't constantly decoding the 3D effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just watching a movie. And I liked it a lot more. I really did. So I don't know. Maybe I'm misgauging, you know, misreading this whole thing again. But I don't know I don't know how far this is going to fly, because it's a very foreign experience. Until we can do this kind of thing without glasses, I don't really care that much about it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be locked into that little world. And I don't like what happens with 3D images at the edge of projection. You know? Like, you put on the 3D glasses and watch a 3D video game and then look away from your TV. You know what I mean? Like the actual edge of wherever the render or the projection is always weird. That's something that happens in the movie theaters as well when you go to see a 3D film.
Yeah.
It doesn't look right because your brain is trying to decode 3D right here,
mm-hmm.
and then deal with real life over here. And the line is, it's not a comfortable, fun thing to do. But in the theater, it's okay because it takes up almost all of your field of view.
And it's darker.
Right.
Various things.
That's something I did with Red Dead one time while I was playing. I decided, you know, I'm going to sit in my chair basically about as far from my, you know, 46-inch TV as I would from my little 19-inch monitor at work.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let it take up my entire field of view and play for a little bit like that. And that was kind of fun, almost putting myself inside there. Didn't do it for very long, you know, because I still need to be able to see my HUD and other things, mm-hmm. but it was kind of fun. And I think it would be pretty neat to like play a first person shooter and have that depth to gauge enemy distance with. On the other hand, considering how long a stretch I'll sit down and play a game for, I honestly don't think I could handle the 3D glasses effect for that long a stretch. For like, you know, occasionally I'll play all day on a Saturday.
Oh yeah.
So, damn it, man, I would end the day with the nastiest headache you've ever fucking seen.
Yeah.
It probably lends itself a lot better to a more casual experience. But if it's something that's just handled in the hardware at the end, you know, of the decoding process, and doesn't require any extra overhead, and you can turn it on and off, then sure, why not?
Go ahead with it.
Put it in there. And maybe I'll use it on occasion just for an extra kick in the pants or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, we got voicemails. Two voicemails here, and I'm going to play these, and hopefully they sound okay. Here we go.
Hey, Game Chat crew, it's Gersnort. Just had a question. Scott, you mentioned that you listen to like musical scores during video games. I was just wondering if there were any other kinds of music you listen to. For instance, whenever I play Battlefield Bad Company, I listen to the Deftones newest record. Anyhow, looking forward to seeing what you guys say about music, besides, you know, dramatic overtures and whatnot. Keep up the good work. Talk to you later.
Well, that leaves me out, because that's all I listen to for my music is dramatic overtures. But only in my chase stuff. But I don't know, do you guys listen to other music when playing games sometimes?
Not really. I pretty much just listen to whatever's in the game.
And thank God Red Dead Redemption has a very good soundtrack to listen to while playing that game. It could have gone horribly wrong.
When I was like, I don't know, 14 years old, I listened to Inner Sandman while playing Shaq Fu. That's the only thing I can think of.
never on a console game or never on a single player game. In Warcraft, all fucking time, dude.
Oh yeah, there's people that listen to our show while playing Warcraft.
Well, I mean, but there's no.
But that's different, I think.
Well, I mean, it's not different from listening to it while you're playing a game, but there's never going to be something where I have to, unless like you're in a raid, and you're like, you know, listening for your fucking raid leader, class lead, or some shit like that, like, and you've got to really pay attention. But even then, like. Everybody listens to their own shit when they're playing an MMO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just because you're never going to have to stop and listen to dialogue,
cutscenes, or any of that stuff.
Like that dramatic music or tempo shifts to indicate, you know, aggro from something. It's never a thing. So I always have. I mean, given the amount of time you can sit around and play an MMO, like
mm-hmm.
on a sick day or an off day or something, man, I just run through. God, I'll listen to anything, honestly, playing, like, anything on my playlist for the most part.
My relationship with, you know, your standard single and multiplayer games is generally so short that I tend to immerse myself in whatever experience they've crafted for me, including the stock music. So with an MMO, it absolutely wouldn't be like that because your relationship is such a long-term one.
Yeah. That,
man, who wants to sit and listen to stock MMO music for months
on end? Oh, God.
No way.
Minutes on end, even. You know, some of them are pretty good, but that's okay. I will say that, I mean, and I sometimes will do this, again, if it's a pure action game or a maybe a racing game or a multiplayer game or something like that. I can't listen to things with words. You know, I don't want somebody else's words.
Oh, no, no.
If I'm listening out for the words in the game or the dialogue or something. So it'll either be I listen to trance a lot, actually, when I'm playing multiplayer games. It's good, upbeat, you know, long track type of stuff that really works with what I'm doing. But never during something where I've got to give a shit what somebody in the game is saying.
Yeah.
Next voicemail?
And I hate the music in Red Dead, by the way.
You don't like it?
No, I don't like it. I think it's perfect, and I hate it.
Oh, okay.
I know what it's there for. I just hate that style of music.
Oh, gotcha.
Like, I really... something about it really, really fucking bothers me. And I don't... It's, like, really primal, you know? Like, it reminds me of Westerns on Saturday afternoons when I was a kid.
So it triggers...
Yeah, no, it's...
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a... I'm not faulting it from any kind of logical analysis. It's just, it's a personal thing. I don't like it at all. But it is perfect for the setting.
I really like it. I think it, as far as like Westerns, it's going to be my second favorite Western soundtrack for a video game.
And your first?
Outlaws?
If you had to ask.
Yeah, I guess not.
It was a LucasArts game.
Maybe. Right, I know, yeah.
Okay. Regardless, it was a great soundtrack for that Spaghetti Western
feel. Of course it
feel.
Was. It was a LucasArts game. It couldn't be anything but.
My third would be Gun. That was a good one.
What would be your fourth?
Fourth? I didn't really get into the music of the Call of Juarez. I mean, I don't have it downloaded, so... But, you know, from playing it, I remember it wasn't that bad.
And your fifth?
Maybe the Call of War is the second one.
My point was to illustrate that, you know.
You always try to get to 10, right?
What was your least favorite?
Least favorite?
Probably Call of War is the second one. Yeah. My point was that, there yeah, you go. Know, my second favorite out of, what, five?
I was going to say, you're going to run out of games here pretty soon as far as your Westerns are concerned. Yeah. Red Dead Revolver, I guess. Did you play the first one?
Didn't play the first one. I don't think anyone did.
Which is kind of one of my problems with this one.
Yeah.
We need to hurry up and get there, by the way.
We will. All right, next voicemail.
Hello, In Game Chat. My name's Steven, also known as Raven1223. First, I want to thank you guys for all the hard work you did on the podcast. It really helps me get through the work week when I have something to listen to that's entertaining. I've also enjoyed playing Red Dead Redemption with you in multiplayer. Found a great achievement in Red Dead. Go to Armadillo, you hogtie one of the prostitutes, carry her over to the railroad tracks, lay her down there, you'll have to defend her from a couple of the cops, and then as the train comes by, watch her get ran over and get a 5-point achievement. Just thought that achievement would be right up
your
alley. Have a good day.
It's a great achievement.
No, it is a great achievement.
It is a good achievement.
I didn't do it till I got to Mexico.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
God, how'd you hold off that long?
I don't know. I wanted to find somebody that I just really didn't like.
Why did that take you so long?
I don't have a problem with many of the women in the game.
Oh.
Because, you know, they're not really doing anything most of the time. So, they, yeah. And none of them really, like... took the opportunity to piss me off. So, like, I first took, like, a guy and, you know, tied him up, put him on there that really needed to die. And, of course, I didn't get the achievement for that because that doesn't fit the
dastardliness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, finally I got to Mexico and I was, you know, pissed off and kind of bored, and I was like, fuck it.
Because you were in Mexico.
Yeah, because I was in Mexico.
Place sucks. In the game.
In the game. Fuck. If you weren't going to clear that up, I was.
Yeah.
So one of the prostitutes was hanging out outside my room and like talking to some guy, and I was like, it's going to be you. Lassoed her, tied her up, and like
it's gonna be you.
Some guy starts to run off, and it's like, pay him off. And I was like, yeah, sure, here's your fucking, you know, $5, go, you know, buy yourself some opium or whatever, and
or another whore.
Yeah. And so took her up to the tracks, and another thing, I was waiting for an opportunity where I wouldn't have to wait for the train too long. I kept checking the map. I was like, okay, the train isn't too far from where I am now.
I think it makes it better.
You think so?
Yeah. You have to anticipate. You have to age that shit like wine.
Mister, let me go. No, sorry. Just going to lay there for a while, lady.
Yep.
No, I've had more than a few women piss me off. I did it to, like, the first chick I found who was like, hey, mister, come, blah, 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 my, you know, whatever, because he's guys and things. You know?
Well, and you're a lot there. Easier to piss off than I am.
And then the guys and things were there, and after I turned all their heads into fucking canoes, like, bitch was down on her knees telling me how it wasn't her fault.
Yeah.
I was like, tell it to the railroad top. I picked her ass up, drug her over there, and did that. I didn't stop there either. Man, I had this whole...
He raped her in half and then raped her both halves.
I didn't rape her in half. Boy, she was dried up and all nasty looking. God damn it. I really want to talk about it, but I don't know if it's time to talk about it or not.
Was that our last
user? That was it.
Time to talk about it.
So keep going.
The next one was like some, I really wanted to do this so bad. I have no idea how disappointed I was at the game's inability to maintain any kind of permanence outside of what's going on out of your own skybox or your own
right
visible radius.
That it wouldn't act like Oblivion and leave shit where you put it.
God. Oh my god. And I didn't come into the game wanting to do this, but something, and I don't know where the fuck this came from. I think it's great, and I think there's a lot of good reason for it to be in there. Good, actually, probably like literary roots for it, but this game is fucking macabre. Like, it's got a lot of really gothic shit in it. Like, one of the first... It's just like GTA. You could do, like, these little stranger missions, you know? Somebody runs up to you and is like, wah!
Came across that 2 nights ago.
All right. Yeah, it was, like, one of the first things I did was, like, my, you know, whatever. Like, my old man's gone.
Yeah. And,
like,
it was her son.
Yeah.
Was the son the first one?
The son was the first.
Who gives a fuck?
It didn't matter.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And then a wife, and then a husband.
Yeah, and it's like, you know. Okay, spoilers. I mean, just whatever, because maybe. I don't know.
And I mentioned it a second time, just in case they didn't catch the first one.
Spoilers.
Right. None of us have finished it, by the way. We're at all different places.
I think I'm the closest.
Yeah, because damn. Well, I mean, see, we can't talk about it. Yeah. We can only go as far as the furthest along person, which is me.
Yeah.
Or, well, technically them, but screw you guys.
Yeah.
And we won't go into any of the big shit. But like, this is just some little throwaway side thing, man. And like, whatever, you figure it out pretty quick. Like, you go up there and there's like a shoe and a giant blood stain and a leg bone. And you're like, well. Okay, you know. And, like, the whole thing just turns into this cannibal thing. There's like, some fucking cannibal up there, like, munching on people. Like, gone all, like, Robert Carlyle and Ravenous, you know. He's just up in the fucking cactus forest, like, eating motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm. And like, he's not the only one.
No, like, I ran across, like, just random, like, dudes tied up in a camp where some creepy old hillbilly is, like, going
to
eat them.
Ready to eat them, yeah.
Like, and like fucking grave diggers all over the place, yeah. And
exhuming people.
Yeah, like this fucking like just crazy ass, you know.
You go. You help some nice old man find flowers for his wife, and then when you finally gather
that
them all,
shit, fucking rule. I love that one. Have you done that one yet?
No.
The flowers.
Great. Let me introduce you to my Annabelle.
Yeah. Well, you got to go find all these fucking flowers for this old man because he's old. He can't pick flowers because that shit's apparently hard. So you got to go like way fucking hell off out into the left side of the fucking map to pick these flowers this old piece of shit wants. And like I knew what was going on because I'd already run across all of their shit before. And his wife's name is Annabelle, and like I just like I smelt the waves of Annabelle Lee coming off of this thing. Like I smelt the Poe coming off of it to some extent. So whatever, you know, you get your flowers and you bring it back and he's like, let me invite you in, blah, blah, blah. You know, and like he invites you in and like his fucking like dried up old dead wife sitting in the rocking chair, been dead for like, I don't know, a minute. A long ass time sitting in a rock chair. He's talking like she's fine and everything like that, and I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Hey, I just realized I gotta be somewhere, you know?
Sure, Annabelle makes some really good cake tea.
Yeah. And like I ran out and I was like, oh, that's fucking strange. And I went back in for something. I was like, maybe it was, I wanted to check and see if there was something there I could open or something, you know. Mm-hmm. And I went in and he's like, oh, did you change your mind about the pie or whatever? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, because if you don't want pie, Annabelle sure could use a foot rub. Like that. And I was like, Jesus Christ, that's weird. And he was blocking my way out, and I was like, trying to get out again. And like I bumped her chair, and her fucking head fell off. I was like, Jesus effing Christ, I could get out of here. So I left and didn't go back. But like, the game's full of that shit, man. I
thought you just shot him by then.
Huh?
I thought you just shot him.
No, I haven't. We'll get to that. I haven't done that. Okay. Very much. And I really would like to. I have no idea.
I figured you would like. I figured you want to shoot him.
But they're not helping me out, man.
I saw this random event because they have the random world events that you can go through. And it had two guys that are like around all these TNT powder kegs. And they're setting up dynamite and they're just working on the thing. And one guy steps up and is like, yeah, I'm going to have a cigar now. And as soon as I heard him say that, I ran out of the camp. I'm like, all right, screw this. I know exactly what's going down. They're just talking. It's like, yeah, so how's the cigar? Oh, real bam! They see him level flying every which way. I'm like, all right, that's kind of cute.
Yeah, I wanted to become like an Old West serial killer. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be all Jack the Ripper out in New Austin, and they wouldn't let me do it. I mean, like, I could fucking kill people. That'd be fun. But that's not fun. I wanted to have fun. And like this one chick was all like, hey, you stole my wagon. Give him a wagon. And I was like, fine, I'll get your fucking wagon. So like I'm running off, get your wagon. And like, you know, like I'm going after the dude who stole her wagon. And you just got to shoot the dude and take the wagon and take it back to her. And like, for fucking random whatever reasons, like I lost my goddamn horse trying to get the wagon. Which, fuck that. I'll go into that in a minute too. Because there's that shit to deal with. And I was fucking pissed. And I was like, fucking horse fucking died. Because it's made of, you know, fucking glass or something. I don't know. It was just a wolf, but whatever. Kill my fucking horse. That's retarded. What was that? I don't know. Maybe that was one of the bugs I was telling you about.
Maybe.
Where I jump off my horse and it dies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Because I shot the guy out of the thing and, mm-hmm. like, jump off my horse while I'm still moving and my horse just dies. So I was like, fucking bitch, fuck her wagon, fuck. So, because you can like get better and better horses, and your horse can gain loyalty, and then it has more stamina, and all of this shit. So it's kind of worth it to have a good horse. And I didn't have a good horse, but he did have his stamina up, so I was kind of angry. So then I go to take her back, like her wagon, and she's like running toward me instead of just sitting still. And then she, like, runs in the middle of the road, and I don't want to fucking run her over. So I have to, like, divert the wagon out of the way. And then the fucking wagon flips over upside down and fucking breaks itself. And I fail the little random encounter mission. And she, like, starts giving me lip. And I was like, that's it, bitch.
Time for a trip to the train.
You're
tracks.
My number fucking... Oh, no. Oh, no. I'd already done that. I'd already done that on that fucking mouthy bitch with the guys back at the fucking ambush. Mm-hmm. I killed that bitch quick.
He's not really a repeat, you know, offender type thing. He's very creative. You know?
I tied that bitch up took her on my horse, and I went and I found some abandoned-ass town out in the middle of nowhere that had, like, a fucking basement under a house. And I went down there, and I shot the lights out, and I tied that bitch up, and I carried her all the way downstairs and tied her up in that basement and left her there. And I was going to go bring other people. You know, like any good serial killer.
You're going to pile the bodies high.
Yes. That's your ass, man.
Holy crap.
She was gone. I like to think she just got up and got away, but...
That's a great idea.
I was so angry that I couldn't just keep piling bodies.
Yeah. Down.
They could talk to each other.
Yes. And
be like, what are you
and then eventually die.
Yep.
I wanted it to be like The Sims. I was like... yeah.
That's
great. Man, I had great plans for her. You know, and then turn, and then I wanted to, you know, I was hoping eventually, like, kind of pissed off that I couldn't skin him, and everything else. Well, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's the worst thing that can happen in this game.
You have to sing Goodbye Horses while you do it.
Yeah. Yeah, she pissed me off, dude. I wasn't gonna let her go. Oh man, fucking bitch! Lost my horse. Flip your wagon upside down. Oh. Yeah, I don't know where to. It. This game is a buggy ass piece of shit. Like, I'm not just from the get go. We should say that it's fantastically fun to play. I mean, it's an amazingly fun game, but it is rotten ass filled with bugs. And I really haven't had any. The only bug I've had is this thing where I jump off my horse and it dies, and that's happened like three or four times.
I had one where one mission, you're in Mexico, you're trying to ride shotgun with DeSantis to, you know, go somewhere to fight rebels, and as soon as you get in the stagecoach, the thing just, like, bounces up and down, and the horse's hooves are, like, actually in the ground, and yeah, it's not moving.
That's and really common.
I was like, all right, so I'll just fast travel, you know, hit the, you know, skip to go to the destination. As soon as I do that, like, I'm, like, about, you know, a couple hundred feet up in the air and just, like, falling in the cart. I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, that sucked.
Collision stuff or being thrown up into the air or, yeah, like, everything sinking into the ground is really, really common. I don't know how common the horse death stuff is. That should really piss me off, dude. Like,
I had a hard lock.
Yeah, I've had a
which
couple.
Was kind of strange because it started making this weird disk access noise, like it was trying to read some shit off the disk that it couldn't get to, but I had installed it to the hard drive, so I can't imagine why it would be trying to read some shit off the disk. But the guide button wouldn't pull anything up. It was hard locked. I had to reset. That's the worst thing that's happened to me. I have really had a pretty easy time with it. And I've had, you know, nothing that I think you could consider a bug, just stupid AI, I guess. You know, I whistle for my horse. He comes over and walks off the cliff.
Yeah.
Or
walks through a river.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, it's a Rockstar game. Water is apparently instantaneously lethal.
To horses.
To horses.
People.
And to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of whom are reputed to be decent swimmers.
Yeah. I've gotten in a buggy, a carriage to, like, take me somewhere. And then they walk up a little bit, and I realized, I was like, no, I need to get back out. I'm not going to do this. I got back out, and I was like, no, I'll actually do it. So I got in, and it wasn't apparently marked as a travel thing.
It stopped
anymore.
Being a travel thing?
And so he, like, runs off to call the cops,
because
I got in his fucking coach. They put a bounty
The AI is really awful. The first time I came across that shit was the first time I was doing a random bounty. And you can, like, pick up, like, wanted posters in towns, you know, and, like, run off and get a bounty. And if you, once you learn how to lasso stuff, you can bring it back alive for, like, twice the money. It's kind of a pain in the ass because even if you kill them, you have to
get the loot and
bring
the
loot
back.
And bring it all the way back. So you'd have to bring them or the loot on their body, the proof of their death, all the way back to the bounty office. And so the whole time you're going back, bad guy reinforcements are spawning and chasing you down. And it was the very first one I was doing. And I was headed back to, I guess, the McFarland Ranch. Is that what it's called? Whatever.
Yeah.
Old girl. And I saw on my mini-map, like, three bad guys spawned, and they're, like, running behind me. So I whip around and, like, look behind me and shoot. And, like, right in the middle of the three assholes was, like, a random not an asshole. And that's the guy I shot. He was just riding with them. You know? So these three guys spawned and came up behind me. And I turned around and was like, blam! And it was like, bounty! And I was like, fuck! Because right about then is when I crossed into town. And, like, every fucking asshole in town pulls a gun on me. And, so I tried to run, you know, like, with the motherfucker tied up to the... No, I didn't have him tied to the back of my shit yet. Because I hadn't learned the lasso. But I was on my horse, and I tried to run, and got my horse stuck. So, like, they're all closing in on me, so I had to jump off my fucking horse and run on foot. And, like, you know, that shit took half a fucking hour, it felt like. Like, just because there was some random fucking, I don't know, Pony Express asshole riding in amongst all of the outlaws. It was just dumb, and he wasn't there a second before that, you know?
Yeah.
It was just dumb, and the AI is, you know, I get it. I think everybody gets it. It's an open world sandbox game where any number of things can be happening at any moment.
Something similar to like that happened to me in Armadillo when they had a group of the Ballins gang or whatever. They're dragging someone through the streets on a rope. You know, on the lasso, and they're dragging through the street. And so I'm like, oh, I'll be, you know, Mr. Nice Guy, and I'll, like, you know, shoot him off the horses. And as soon as I, you know, did the targeting, I targeted, like, a civilian. And then, you know, I'm like, next thing you know, all Johnny Law's after me.
Well, now, that kind of brings up a really good point, that this game has fucked up bad, in my opinion, in how it introduces new mechanics to the game. Some of them, I think, are far too slow,
mm-hmm.
and they're really arcane. They're not the kind of things that you can just get by knowing how to play video games. They're kind of specific. And almost all of the tutorials for how to do important fucking shit, basically the most lethal shit, occur while that shit's going on. They don't pause the fucking action or anything like that. Some stupid little tutorial, you know, line of dialogue or something pops up in the upper left-hand corner. And meanwhile, you're getting your ass blown off and, like, you didn't learn anything because you were too busy trying to figure out what was going on in front of you. They're really bad about doing that sort of stuff. And the signature combat mechanic is... It's really great, but it takes so long for it to mature. And every single time it does, it fundamentally changes how it works. The first time is basically you just accrue and then can enter what is... It's just bullet time.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, the first level is just bullet time. In the second level, it will... Like, basically every time you enter bullet time, every time your crosshairs move over a target thing, something, it'll put a little mark on it.
Which can be bad.
Which is often very bad, because it does it automatically. And it'll do it once for every bullet currently loaded into your weapon, yeah. You know.
So you're fucked if your horse happens to get in the way.
Yeah, because it's done automatically.
Target.
And it's somewhat useful in some places and not useful at all in others, because I've killed my own horse several times. I mean, I've had so many horses die either through my fault or some other thing. It's fucking ridiculous. But I've shot my own horse's fucking balls off over and over and over again. Because, like, they're... Like, I'll hop off of my horse and try to, like, shoot some guys. And, like, you know, there's this big fat ass. And, like, I won't notice it, but it'll drop an X right on my horse. Like, because that's what I meant to do. You know? It's really fucking stupid. And it isn't until the second major portion of the game, when you get to Mexico, that you get to... That you learn how to place those X's deliberately by hitting the shoulder button. And quite frankly, we should have gone straight to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We should have done that before we did anything else. This whole automatic X dropping thing is fucking retarded. Because it gets you into as much trouble as it helps you out of. And it just doesn't make any sense as an evolution of the mechanic. I hated it.
Were you able to go back and first time through learning that skill and hit the shoulder buttons?
No. It isn't given to you until a certain point in the game.
Yeah.
Oh.
as an aspect of the story development. So,
like, two-thirds of the way, because you already have one-third of the game done, you know, with New Austin.
It's when you get to Mexico.
And, yeah.
It's the, like, the first thing that happens when you get down to Mexico, assuming you go to, like...
Dude, man, to first. Dude.
Yeah.
It makes no sense at all.
It's not very good, and it's the second tier of that mechanic gets you into a lot of trouble, and I don't like it. But it's sort of representative of how they were, in my opinion, not really judicious with how they did things and how they tutorial or ran tutorials on things. It wasn't clear how a lot of stuff works. So
some of their challenges were kind of buggy for me. I was doing the sharpshooter challenge 8. We have to, it just says basically shoot 2 hats off of people, then disarm 2 people. And, you know, I was doing that left and right. I'd get to a big group of people with, you know, their little top hats and stuff. And I'd, you know, go into bullet time. I'd target the hat, then shoot those off. Then I'd, you know, shoot their pistols out and just wouldn't do that. Actually gave it to me when I was shooting crows.
Nice.
At the ranch. It was the weirdest thing. I was like, all right, whatever. Now to disarm 6 people and without reloading or changing weapons.
Okay.
And just to emphasize again, because we, you know, focus so much on the problems with games, but it is a ridiculously fun game.
Yeah.
I was going to say, for as much as you say whatever bad about it, it was like anytime I hopped on, I was stuck playing. I didn't get the game the day of release, like most of you guys had it. I got it. Me and Jeremy pretty much got it the same day, almost, yeah. Which was like Thursday. He got it Wednesday. I got it Thursday. So when I went to Blockbuster, Gamefly had already told me, we've sent you Red Dead and we've sent you, I can't remember. But anyway, we sent you these games. And so I went to Blockbuster and said, I'll take Alan Wake and I'll take Prince of Persia, since I know I've got these other two coming. So I started playing Alan Wake when you guys were playing Red Dead. And I kind of got pulled into that world until I put in Red Dead Redemption. And then it was, I didn't really want to go back to Alan Wake for a little while. I kept wanting to go into Red Dead Redemption. But
same here. I fully had the intention of playing more Alan Wake than I have.
Yeah, so did I.
Same here.
I'll just get Red Dead done first.
Yeah, that's how I felt. Like, Red Dead is easy to just go and dick around in and make progress and have stupid fun in.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Wake requires... It's also ridiculously good, in my opinion. And I absolutely have loved the little bit of time I've spent in it. And I'm really looking forward to being able to commit to it. But that's the problem. I can't commit to it right now. It's such... of such a serious nature that I really need to have this other shit out of the way before I can go and immerse myself in it.
I got kind of pissed, got pissed at myself in Alan Wake because I noticed that I missed one of the coffee thermoses, and because I saw it, like, and it's part of the game where you progress, where you can't go back, you can't back travel, yeah. And I see it, and I'm like, you know, I'm only in the second chapter, so, you know, I'm thinking about just restarting it as
aren't pickups in that game persistent across
playthroughs? Yeah.
They are.
Then don't worry about it, because you can't get all pickups in one playthrough anyway, because some of them are in
Nightmare mode,
which can't be opened until you beat it.
Okay.
So don't worry about it.
Okay, good then. I love it. I mean, not to jump ship real quick, but, you know, just real quick on Alan Wake, I love the whole narration that, you know, how he's narrating it through as a story.
I think it's weak as hell.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like it at all.
For some reason, I dig it.
I don't know. Weak as hell is maybe not fair. It's schlocky. I don't know. I don't particularly care for the tone. You know, I mean, I know what they're trying to do, and I don't read that kind of literature in the real world either. So the way that it's written, the tone of the narrative isn't something that I particularly care for, but it does seem to go hand in hand with the setting. You know, it's very... he's more than a little bit trying to pull some King,
mm-hmm.
you know? But it's also like if Stephen King was Hemingway, and it was all these clipped, short, deliberate, declarative sentences. That's sort of what it is. It's not flowery or very purple prose. It's very, very boxy and kind of unwieldy, in my opinion, for something that's supposed to be about writing. It's not all that great, but it... that's really more about my personal preference rather than saying it doesn't work, it's not functional, it has no place here, it's bad. I don't think it's particularly good. But it doesn't turn me off at all, you know? I would just rather listen to him say other words.
Okay.
Still creepy as fuck, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they gave a little more sandbox time in Alan Wake when you first get to Bright Falls, yeah, instead of just going into the diner and, you know, doing the stuff. You know, I wish I could just look around the city before it, you know, it gets all weirded out.
I don't need that.
That's not what that game is about, man.
I know, but I think just for me, I mean, that's just why I feel that.
That's why I love to explore. Because just for you ain't enough.
I know. But I would love to just explore that little city. Explore Bright Falls and just, you know, just.
I was going to say, if you want to have a city explorer and a thriller, I will mention Deadly Premonition once again. That's the game you need to be playing.
As if you needed an excuse to mention it.
I don't.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll probably have, I imagine this time next week, we'll all be done with Red Dead, and we'll have a hell of a lot more to say about Alan Wake.
Yeah.
At the moment, none of us are deep enough in it to...
I'm just like chapter two.
Yeah, I doubt I'll be done with Red Dead.
Really?
I'm playing Split Second, and now I'm playing Blur, and Blur has really grabbed me, so...
I have no intention of...
Since we've jumped rails onto Alan Wake, thanks, Matt.
Sorry.
No, you're not. How about just don't even do shit and be sorry for it? How about we think about that shit next time?
All right. We may as well go ahead and wrap up what little we have to say about Alan Wake before going back to Red Dead, since there's, like,
I didn't really have anything to say about
very
it.
Very far in it. I absolutely adore that they've set it up as TV episodes, since that's one of my favorite ways to consume fiction, is episodic stuff.
I knew it was episodic. I didn't realize it was so focused around, like, that whole television thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't either until I got to the end of episode one.
Oh, yes. No, I loved it.
That was great.
The last time on Alan Wake, that hit all the right spots for me, man. It was really good. It absolutely conjures a lot of King. And I'm really glad that I watched Bright Falls before I started playing.
Yeah, I was going to say that feeling was at work somewhat in, mm-hmm, the Bright Falls
and
stuff.
And if you don't watch the Bright Falls stuff, then, like, when you get to Bright Falls in the beginning of the game and you see that big fucking, you know, parade deer thing,
yeah,
like, that's a complete, like, Stephen King thing. This, like, weird, goofy, innocuous thing that,
yeah,
instills a sense of dread in you when you see it.
Well,
it's unique to this town.
I mean, the very last scene of Bright Falls,
mm-hmm,
which is them, like, pulling into Bright Falls.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is wrong, actually, I guess,
yep,
compared to the game. Because he was driving at the end of Bright Falls.
Yeah.
And she was driving when they were coming to town, yeah?
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yes. She woke him up. But whatever, that was the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
That was Alan Wake and whatever her name is.
Alyssa or something?
Who cares?
Mrs. Yeah. Wake.
Yeah.
Mrs.
Wake. But old girl in the diner.
Yeah.
You know? Rose in the diner with the Alan Wake author cutout.
Yeah.
You know, like that. I mean, it was cool. Like,
it's good stuff, man.
not game changing or game selling, but fun and good nonetheless. And very, very Twin Peaks. They like that sort of shit. Yeah.
It's, and they don't hide. I like that they don't hide the fact that he's conjuring Stephen King. You
know, no,
at the very beginning of the game, he's like, you know,
they made
Stephen King
to him right
once
away.
Wrote.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's okay.
I read enough Stephen King when I was a teenager that
I still think
what they're doing.
I still think that, just because King was a King thing, I think that I have always thought that as much as we've moved into this idea of episodic content, it's still all hung on the framework of a bulky initial retail release, which isn't the way I always envisioned it. I always wanted episodic gaming to work like the Green Mile. You remember how that came out? You remember the way they released the Green Mile?
No.
He released, it was like a couple chapters. It was, what, five or six?
Six. I don't remember iterations. How many it was
six.
It was six iterations, one every, I can't even remember the, like 3 months?
I think it was every 3 months, I think.
Something like that, but it was like one little, when the Green Mile first came out, it was like one little section of the book every so often. And then that eventually encompassed the entire thing. I remember all of my friends who were King fans were just fucking, like, glazed the fuck over every time, you know, a new release was out. And I was like, that's what we ought to be doing. Like, not like this giant retail release and then a couple of little episodic bullshit, you know, dingleberries at the end, but like real... Like, just break this motherfucker up and release little bits of it every so often, every few months. Mm-hmm. You know, every maybe 4 to 6 months or something like that. And then it's just
kind of what Telltale Games is doing.
To some extent, yeah. I mean...
They're the only guys that have gotten away with doing it, though.
Yeah.
It's absolutely failed for everybody else that's tried it. It hasn't worked for Half-Life. It didn't
work, but Half-Life isn't doing that.
Nah, yeah. It didn't work for...
They're doing expansion packs. And they're calling it episodes. Yeah.
It didn't work for Penny Arcade Adventures. It didn't work for Bone.
Sin only did one.
It didn't work for Sin. Absolutely everyone else has completely and utterly failed.
Yeah, Sin was a little more trying to do that than anybody else. But I don't think it's the model that led to failure in those other things. I think it was other stuff. But I don't think you really...
It's entirely possible. I'm just saying, you know... Hey, if the only way I can get like the semblance of an episodic game is in a full retail release, I'll take it for now.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
particularly if it's going to be a game as good as Alan Wake.
Sure, you're right. I'm not shitting on the idea. It was just not. It was not the ideal.
Yeah.
Idea. So. Yeah, I don't know. I tend for that to be something for next week. I just couldn't. I was going to play it first, but Dana wouldn't let me.
I will also say that it's the first time in an extremely long time that the game has managed to, like, unnerve and startle me.
Oh, yeah, I haven't had that. That's really hard to do.
It was, like, right at the beginning when the little hook guy, like, the shadowy guy in the dream sequence skips forward, like, from back there to, like, right in front of you.
Oh.
Yeah, that's pretty typical modern horror movie mechanic, which I fucking hate.
I know. I don't like it in movies, but...
Well, I played through two, and so far that hasn't happened again.
It'll happen again.
But, I don't know. It was used in a way that made me question what could happen game mechanic wise. Like, if this fucker can just go wherever, then what the fuck can I do? I felt helpless against him, which is something I don't feel a lot in a good way in games. If I feel helpless, it's usually because the controls are broken. You know?
Yeah. The first time I felt that way, it was in that same sequence.
Yeah.
And I already knew. I was like, light is safety.
Yeah.
So I like ran under a lamp, and it was like, and the bulb popped. I was like, you piece of shit. Fuck all y'all.
It might be safety, but it ain't trustworthy.
No, I was like,
it was a really, really well crafted sequence. So
It was fun. The fucking tornado scared me more than anything.
I kept wanting to look behind me to see if it was following where it was, but I was scared to look behind me, afraid that I wouldn't get away from it if I had to turn around
or I'd lose direction of where I'm going and slow down.
The curiosity got the better of me. I like got to a point where I felt like I'd probably made it far enough ahead I could turn around and look back. So I snuck a quick glance and realized it wasn't really following me.
The same thing was like, should I go for that coffee mug? Because I don't know if I got time to get in.
But how often does that shit happen that you feel like you can't? You can't afford to look back because it's too dangerous.
Not often enough.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Um,
Yeah, it's good, but I don't really want to act on any of my impressions yet. I just haven't gotten anywhere in it, you know?
Like we were saying earlier before we start recording, I don't mind the, you know, some people complaining about product placement. I don't mind it one bit. You know, I think, you know, with the Ford.
Well, A, because it's not really that excessive.
Yeah.
Not really.
It's not, it's, I don't think
and
it's
And at least what I've seen is, in it's intelligent placement. It's not like, you know.
It's making it feel like the real
world.
Hey,
you badass counteroperative, while you're, you know, trying to take out these terrorists, make sure to, like, look at this Axe body spray. Yeah. That, like, we left sitting right here on this thing. It's not like that. It's like, all the ads are where they belong.
Yeah. You're driving or it's, you know, a commercial in front of a TV show or just whatever.
Or
a
billboard.
Yeah. Like, so,
I mean, the batteries free flashlight or Energizer batteries, like, you know, so are the ones I have at home. You know, whatever. It's not that big a deal. It's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd fully intend to play that first. And Dana couldn't. She wants to play it, so she's not going to sit there and watch me play it. But she wanted to sit there and watch me play something. So she was like, let's go kill some guys. And go over there and kill this guy. And, you know, on and on, such as that.
Mm-hmm. So back to Red Dead.
Yeah.
The multiplayer was fun.
It was all right.
Well, some of the missions, like with the cave, where we had to escort
it was
the mine cart.
I mean, it was
fun for a minute.
There's
like,
no,
it's really
no.
easy to do everything in there and then not have anything left to do.
It was only fun when Jeremy shot my donkey and
fuck that donkey, dude.
And then shot me.
It's fuck not, you too.
It's not built very well. That's what every fucking multiplayer match in Red Dead devolves into.
Yeah, really.
It's like shooting your friends because they're stupid enough to give you XP for it. Even if you're in a posse together, you know?
Yeah.
So just the like you spend more than 5 seconds bored, and whoever's closest to you is gonna get shot. That's all there is to it.
Charge at him with some dynamite.
It's just it's not that good. I mean, it was fun, you know. It was better than GTA 4, mm-hmm. but not honestly by a lot. They added persistence and they added ranking because, well, you know, that's what everybody else does. But for there being, you know, like overall so little to do, the ranking system made no sense. It should have happened much, much, much faster.
And have more things to do.
Had a lot more things to do. I mean, free roam's fun, but I played 3 sessions with everybody, and it was a hell of a lot of fun. But I just, yeah, after that, you know, whatever. That's not where the strength of the game is.
Mm-hmm.
And they did improve over their previous iteration of sandbox multi, but not enough for that to even be a selling point. It's a curiosity. And it is fun. I mean, we, you know, fucking fended off the Federales down in Mexico for a while.
It was a great way to waste a couple of evenings.
Yeah, it was a shit ton of fun. But I'm not going back in there to do that stuff again. The meat of the game is in the single player.
Mm-hmm.
But
and entirely in the gameplay.
No, not entirely. Well, yeah, okay, no, you're right. Sorry. I was jumping ahead in my mind. But yes,
yeah.
It's entirely in the gameplay. I see, here's part of something we said earlier, like, for whatever reason, like, this fucking game is rooted 100% in its prequel. It is not good at explaining why the fuck your dude is what he is. It takes a really long time
to get a good grasp on his motivation and who he is. And
you have to do it in context, because he's not very good at explaining it to people around him, which makes sense for his character, but that doesn't make sense to you, the player, for a really long time. So, before you play this shit, like, fucking Wikipedia the previous game or something, because, like, no joke, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And a lot of people are sort of up his ass about what he's doing out there, and I'm like, fuck is your problem? Like, I haven't done any of this shit. I don't know what it is. And you're not treated to even so much as a cutscene explaining your motivations. So I thought it was really kind of awkward. And I also don't like You know, he's like apparently a family man, and he's trying to get back on the right track. And I can get behind that. But at the same time, he's also kind of an asshole to a lot of people.
He's trying to straddle a fence that it seems impossible to straddle. You can't have the ostensibly have the motivations that his character claims to have, and then go be willing to do the sort of things that he does. And he'll act two completely different ways, you know, in any given situation.
Yeah, he really will.
And
sometimes I want him to act the way he talks. Like, I really do. Like, because I hate working for a lot of the people that give you missions. I fucking hate them, man.
Especially in Mexico.
I hate everybody in Mexico. Mexico is really very shitty. Like, the story development down there is non-existent. All the people are fucking assholes to you. Like, it's not a good place. Like, and judging by what people have said who've gotten past it, you know, New Austin's great, and then the shit after Mexico's great, but Mexico is, like, stupid. I mean, it's an interesting place, just not good. Short on development. Yeah. So, but yeah, a lot of times, dude, he will just absolutely act like, I swear to God, he's going to pull his gun out.
Like, look, if you jerk me around again, then we're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
But nobody ever doesn't jerk him around.
Yeah.
And so far, he's done dick all about it.
And you're not really free to fuck those people over, because you have to pass through them to progress the story. It's not... Again, like not trying to... Yeah,
and
not
I
trying
know
to
shit on like a Commander Shepard pulling his gun out on a random...
I know this is Rockstar's bread and butter. This is the way they tell a story. This is the sort of story they tell. But it works so much better in GTA 4 when you were a guy who's left his country and left all these horrible things behind, is trying to start a new life, but keeps getting drug back into all these horrible things.
And you can believe him going either way.
Yeah.
Succeeding at the new life or failing and falling entirely back into
criminal. Yeah, and he kind of rolls his eyes and has to go along with it sometimes to get by. But, like, I never get that feeling from this guy. He's ostensibly in the same situation. He wants to start over and leave his old life behind. But I never get the feeling from him that he feels like any remorse at all for the bad stuff he does, other than he says, well, you know, I'm not that person anymore. Well, fuck you. Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
You just, like, helped the Mexican army, spoiler, murder a bunch of, you know, fucking farmers, burn their village down, take their women back to the general.
To rape them in half.
Yeah, like, you are that guy. So, like, either quit being whiny or back up your threats. Pick a side, man.
Yeah.
Pick a personality.
Mm.
Like, he's not Nico. And I think Nico was a much more believable character in that kind of situation.
Yeah.
This guy just doesn't know what the fuck he is. More to the point, his writers don't know what the fuck he is.
Yeah, and every time he's doing what he's doing, he's believable. When he's talking to people about, you know, I'm not coming out here to do these various things to you because I'm a bad guy. I'm doing it because I'm, like, been put in a bad spot. And I'm not trying to do any harm by anybody. And I'm just looking to, like...
Just looking for some guys.
Yeah, to do this thing. But then sometimes he's, like, fucking just an asshole. And not in the worst way. Like, it's kind of fun, you know, but it misses a little bit. It's not... Overall, I just have to say that this game is lacking a lot of the polish that GTA 4 did.
Mm-hmm.
In the full, in every sense of how we understand the polish of a sandbox game to work, it's missing it a little bit in comparison. Still a fucking riot, though.
I also think one of the charms about Nico is that he also had that fish out of water, you know, being a foreigner in, you know, Liberty City.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that was
whereas, you know, this guy, you know, his ranch is right there.
You know, it feels wrong, you know, that if he's willing to do anything to, like, get this done and go back to his family, then why is he also willing to go so far out of his way, you know, to pick flowers and get the buggy back, stop the thief or the horse thief? Like, and I know those are kind of optional, but they make you want to do them. It is part of who he is.
One of the reasons that I'm not interested in doing a lot of the side stuff, which I'm not, is I mean, some of it, yes, but I really would like to just complete the fucking game and then get to a point where I can freely go about being an asshole
just free
in the world, because I haven't felt like I haven't felt free to do that.
You still feel like you're guided by that character.
Yes.
Or the way he's portrayed himself.
Yeah.
And you're chained by the fact of, like, well, this is the way he's talking, so I guess this is the way he is the way and to be played.
And let's face it, it is harder to be an asshole in a game like this.
It is.
Your
it is.
Life
and
is
I'm not,
so much harder.
And I'm not, yeah, and I'm not saying, like, you can't, and I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying. And,
it's like
and,
the freedom to have to.
And just, it says a lot for how compelling he is as a character and how everybody else is, you know, and like. Mm-hmm. I kind of hate that I have a wife and kid because I like Bonnie, you know? Yeah. Like, you know, whatever. Like, but no.
And I know I've beat this drum like 100 times in the past, but this is the perfect game to have a silent protagonist in. An Old West game with a grizzly cowboy who doesn't speak, would be perfect.
Yeah, you could do a lot with it.
Yeah, then you could go either way. So much easier.
Yeah, really I ended up liking Nico, you know?
Yeah.
But like, yeah. I don't think GTA 4 would have been better with a silent protagonist, as much as I like the concept. But this game would be a lot better, in my opinion, if I were a different character who just didn't have anything to say. And I could just project whatever I wanted onto him. Because as he's written, he's too much of a contradiction.
He is. He's still interesting as hell. Yeah, everybody's interesting as hell. Everybody in the game has something good to say.
Even like some of the characters that my lesser favorite characters, like Dick, why not the snake oil guy?
Oh yeah, Wes Dickens.
Wes Dickens.
Man, I wanted to shoot that motherfucker in the gut so bad.
I did not want to do that first mission with him, man. Went against absolutely everything I wanted to do with my character.
I mean, he's fun, like oily ass, fucking despicable bastard.
Mm-hmm. But it got to the point where I couldn't do anything else. Oh, all right, I have to help you sell your stuff.
And every time you help him make money, like, what do you get for your trouble? You get like $5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking asshole.
There's some characters later on when you get to a new Elizabeth that,
there's not. I met them all.
Oh. Okay.
There's only five people in the whole game.
Yeah. But, you know, there's, like, you know, some of the characters up there that, you know, I definitely wanted to shoot.
I don't even know what we were talking about.
Well, we finished our Red Dead conversation.
Yeah.
I
so, unless there was something you wanted to hit in the news.
I wish there was more Easter eggs. There's so much they could do with that thing.
Yeah.
It's set in a Western setting, you know?
Find a cave with a DeLorean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been a lot of fun.
There's plenty of those.
Or even I think even better would have been Marty McFly's original outfit when he first got to the West. You know, with the red tassels and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If that could be one of your costumes and give you like just
with
some
Nikes.
Kind of. Yeah, with the crazy bonus that made no sense.
Achievement would be dead shiny.
Dead shiny.
That moccasin's off in a dead shiny. Or a wanted poster that's fucking, you know, Mad Dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a manure truck. I don't know. There's plenty of that shit going on.
There's been a couple westerns.
Yeah, I know. Except for that little bit. Exactly. Yeah, that's where it goes. That's where it goes for me.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's it.
That's all we're going to give you right now. Because... Mm-hmm. I'm losing my voice because I've been sick.
And we started late, and so...
There's other shit, but whatever. I'm begging off.
Anyway, there you go. Enjoy the show. Don't forget to send us your tweets and your emails and direct the conversation for next week's episode.
See you later.
Bye.
Yeah.